First pitch to Semien. He cranks one up the alley left center field. Couser and Mullins go after it. That one's up and out of here. Marcus Semien, a three-run home run, and the Rangers strike first, and they strike big here in the bottom of the third.
A fun way to start the Thursday edition of Sean and RJ live here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. And I told you in yesterday's tease that fan cam records would be set, and he lived up to the billing as RJ Choppy is representing America early.
I know what you're thinking.
Your nipples must be freezing cold.
And trust me, I'm thinking it too. So is Peyton Russell. Am I naked under this?
Yes.
And yes. I would just say ask your mom.
I can't.
You can't know. I do have underwear on. Okay. I do have underwear on. My nipples are not cold, but man, the metal buckle of the overall is right on them.
It feels like one wrong angle.
Oh, yeah, I could snap it in half. Absolutely.
Snap it in half. Now, what was your previous? Now, I can't remember your previous outfit that I was speechless over. I walk in this morning. Bobby's girls are here again, going strong with the morning energy as Bobby is recording an interview with O-line guru Duke Manyweather, which will play related to the Cowboys development up front. And they're like, why is he wearing that? They're pointing. And I look on over in the room and I was like, Bobby in that fan jacket, red, white, and blue himself, myself with the new Texas Rangers cap from the in-laws. And they're like, no, not dad. Look in there. And then I Dude, paused.
Bobby saw me and he rolled his eyes in immediately. Peyton saw me and he goes, man, there's kids here today. Then you give me the look that you gave.
And the previous outfit was what?
That was a
romper, wasn't it?
No, it was just an American. It was just an American flag shirt that had the sleeves ripped off. That was it. It was a little snug. It was a little snug on me. But this is the overalls. I saw these on the TikTok shop, and overall shorts. It's going to be really, I think I have a bathroom coming up here.
Oh.
That's going to be interesting because I'm going to have to disrobe the whole thing up.
Even for pee.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, even for pee. Oh, no, there's a fly. There's a fly. I got a fly here.
Where?
I got a fly right
there.
Oh, you
do. Okay.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that would have been, I would not have
That would have been
back.
Great. No. That would have been hilarious.
Taking the whole thing off like I'm a kid in like elementary kindergarten where you pull your pants all the way down to your ankles.
You and the missus are known to get matching outfits. Does she also have one?
No, she does not have a matching outfit. She doesn't like America, I guess. Yeah. She's just not really into it.
My
so.
Wife, for some reason, is up. She has already responded to the Instagram photo. Oh, hell nah. We'll see how many we can get on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube as RJ Choppy is going with the shirtless suspender look.
Yeah, and Aiden gave us a one shot, a full body shot of Choppy a few minutes ago. So anybody who wanted to get their screenshots probably got them there.
Go to the gym right after this and this?
No, you're not.
Yeah.
No, you aren't.
Oh, yeah.
You better film yourself walking into the gym. That'll be enough, but you need to film yourself walking into the gym wearing that.
I had, when I walked to the car this morning, there was a guy walking his dog, and I was like, oh. It's like, I'm embarrassed already. I haven't even left for work yet.
Your neighborhood. I mean, that's just like Sunday dinner attire.
Absolutely. No kidding.
So there it is. RJ Choppy representing. Perfect tan to go along with it.
Well, it's a little farmery.
Yeah,
a little farmery. I had the golf from Derek's thing on Monday.
Well,
little farmer's tan. I did work on the tan.
A very fun night for the Texas Rangers as Nate Eovaldi he got in his five innings for that win. Nice second start in return. Seager and Semien go yard 6-0. Chris Young told the G-Bag Nation, "I'd like to get 2 of 3." Hopefully all three, but I'd love 2 of 3 against Baltimore, and they get it in Arlington right here on this station.
Yeah, and look, I mean, we've talked about waiting for Josh Young to come around, waiting for Wyatt Langford to come around, get those different aspects. A lot of that can be covered over. But in fact, almost all of it can be covered over as long as you're getting...
Unlike RJ's chest.
Seager, right. As long as you're getting Seager and Semien to hit the way you expected them to hit when... You brought them here. Now, obviously, there's going to be decline naturally as they get older. But, man, Semien has... This is, I guess, just his MO. He's going to start hitting around June every year. That's what he'll do. And then Seager finally, after you stopped betting on him and jinxing him.
Yeah.
After that, he started to, like, crush the baseball again. So, it's encouraging. It feels like, all right, we're getting little clues that maybe the offense is turning things around a little bit.
Three hits for Osuna. three hits for Josh Smith, two for Osuna, two for Jonah Heim, two for two runs batted in for Zeke Duran.
Look, it's going to be a little bit different with Duran coming in there and maybe giving a spark a little bit from at least the base running standpoint. He'll get on base, create some havoc. I mean, anything could be better than Josh Jung the way he has gone. But listen, when you're going to get a start from when Nate Eovaldi comes back, when he's back on the hill, and you're going to start being able to get exactly what you were early on in the year pitching wise, where you're going to, you're not going to kill the bullpen, right? You're not going to wear the bullpen down. You're going to get good starts from Eovaldi. You're going to get good starts from DeGrom, hopefully back to back. That's going to give your guys a day off. Like, you're essentially going to give your bullpen back to back days off, you hope. That can really kind of extend your rotation.
Are you going to be standing up the majority of the show?
No, it's just it's a little tight in the crotch.
Yeah.
Little tight in the crotch.
It is.
Having a hard time right now. My eye contact with you is going to have to be on this screen to my right where I'm looking at you.
I'll sit down.
In Aiden's video corner. I don't know whether you sitting down is going to make me stare at you in the eyes even more.
Chop, what you should do is you should maybe throw a foot up on the thing and just kind of get some stretches in during the segment too.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even see the bottom part.
Oh, yeah.
Let's
just
see.
Shorts.
Okay. And you do have underwear on.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at your upper thigh with those three eggs sitting right next to it. So that's painting a different picture. Dane Dunning gets the save. And Dane was part of some transactions that also saw Josh Jung sent down. And this was all building yesterday. Brett Boone was on with us. Evan Grant, you thought was hinting towards this, and Josh Jung has been optioned.
Yeah, and it felt like yesterday Booney was kind of talking like he was optimistic, but I remember the last thing he said was like, and we just hope he can turn it around or something like that. That just was like, oh, that sounded more hope for the best, buddy. But this is what he needed. This is absolutely what he needed to do. Evan Grant noted in his article yesterday talking about Jung getting sent down. He said that every single category, that June slash line that you read yesterday and talked about how that was the lowest of his career, every single item in it ranked in the bottom 10 among 191 MLB qualifiers since June 1st, and his slugging percentage and OPS were the lowest in baseball. And so you couldn't have him in there anymore. It wasn't functional offensively anymore. Hopefully he gets it corrected. Hopefully he is able to clean some of it up, because when he's on, a couple years ago, it looked like, all right, this guy's on the verge of being a 30 home run hitter who can hit 270, 280 for you.
You don't see guys who have been up for this long typically go down. It's not a great time. Look, it's obviously they have the options because, of the way the CBA is, you can still have options with these players. But it's just that you don't usually see it all that much. It's not like you never see it. It's just not all that often, because usually if you're able to stay up here for 2 years, you're able to continue. He has fallen into some really bad habits, and Bobby posted that photo over the weekend, the screenshot of all the balls he swung and missed or swung at that were out of the strike zone. That's a guy who either lost his vision and needs glasses or forgot what a strike is.
There were a lot of people at first jokingly, and then there were people seriously on Twitter going like, does he need contacts? Does he need like, is there something off with it? Because it's just pitchers now are just routinely going up. I'll go up or I'll go up and in.
Josh Hamilton problem.
Yeah. It's
blue eyes, baby.
Yeah, that's what it is.
In a dome.
It's it's the same thing Josh dealt with later in his career where Mike talked about it. Bassick used to say that the scouting report on Josh Hamilton was there's good news and bad news. The bad news is you can't get Josh Hamilton out. He said the good news is Josh Hamilton will get himself out. And that's kind of like Josh Jung's got a ton of talent. Josh Jung can smoke the baseball. Josh Jung just has an awful eye at the plate right now.
I'm making you redraft the Rangers' future today. Give me 1, 2, 3. Jung, Carter, Langford.
Langford won still, even though that's been a little dicey lately.
Because wasn't there a point over the past two seasons where you felt like Josh Jung was locked in?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like this is a building point.
Yes.
He made it. There wasn't growth or there wasn't a question. It was like, all right, he's good. He might get better. Uh-huh. But I mean, even if he's just this is good. You can operate with this.
It was health related with him. It was like, can he stay healthy? That was it.
Langford, Carter, Jung.
I'm going to say Langford, Jung, Carter. I think, sometimes when guys get hurt, they fall into bad habits. Maybe he's playing through an injury, or maybe he was and he developed a bad habit. Maybe he just needs an off season. Maybe he's having a bad year. You know, guys sometimes just have off seasons. Like, go look through the history of the sport. You'll see guys who are career 300 hitters have that one year where they bat like 260. It makes no sense, but there it is. So I still think he's better than Carter long-term. The back issue with Evan from last year, you know, obviously threw him off a little bit, but I'd say Langford, young Carter.
I would agree with that. His best season, 2023, 23 home runs, 70 runs batted in, 266 with the average. He's never hit higher than 266. The WAR was a 2.4 with a 781 OPS.
And that's the thing, too. It's felt like his entire game has been...
Then you get him at third base.
It felt like his entire game has been hampered by this. Because defensively, he's had some moments where it's like, the hell are you doing right now? And I mean, like, you talk about... When you look at wins above replacement this year, he's just basically... Last year, he was a negative on defense. This year, he's neutral. He's 0.0. Carter, every year that he's been up, even last year when he was bad, every year Carter's been a positive on defensive wins above replacement. You know he's going to at least get on base pretty frequently with his eye. And so to me, it's like, I trust that at least Carter's going to get on base. All three of them have their issues. All three of them have had low points recently. But Young is the one who it's like, that's the scariest one to fix right now, is the fact that he just doesn't see the ball well.
You know, there's the Fantech's bringing up some points. You know, guys around the league, like Corbin Carroll was going through kind of a similar thing in his third year. So he batted 260, and then he batted 285. That was the year that he won the Rookie of the Year, and they went to the World Series, and they lost to some team that we know very well. And then the following year after that, he hit 231. His on base dropped about 100, over 100 points. I'm sorry, his OPS dropped over 100 points. His OPS plus dropped to basically league average. Like, he had that slump in year three. And we're seeing Josh Young having that slump in year three.
Maybe there's a correlation. Starters were announced for the All-Star game. We'll run through the American League first. The big dumper, Cal Raleigh, is going to, of course, start at catcher with the record-breaking power season. Vlad Jr. at first. Gleyber Torres at second. Jacob Wilson from the Athletics. His first starter election at shortstop. Jose Ramirez at third base. And then the DH, Ryan O'Hearn from the Baltimore Orioles, making it for the first time. In the outfield, Judge, Riley Green, and the Detroit Tigers continue to dominate with Javi Baez in that final outfield spot. Over to the National League, Will Smith at catcher, Freddie Freeman, Ketel Marte from the Diamondbacks, Lindor from New York, Manny Machado, and then the DH is Shohei, with the outfield consisting of Acuna, Pete Crow Armstrong from the Chicago Cubs, and Kyle Tucker, also from Chicago.
Yeah, PCA, baby. Everybody loves that. Everybody loves that name, Pete Crow Armstrong. But, you know, actually, honestly, they really did. The fans did a really good job. Like, Bobby Witt's a much bigger name than Jacob Wilson. Jacob Wilson has had a slightly better offensive season. Like, it's not a lot better. It's slightly better. Like, they did a tremendous job. Gleyber Torres deserved it. They had a lot of guys that Riley Green over Mike Trout deserved it. They did a really good job.
And ultimately, proud of them. Ultimately, the Rangers sneak a starter in there. So that's the positive with Ryan O'Hearn, since he's going to get traded here in about 20 days.
The Dallas Stars have the press conference to introduce their old, brand new head coach again. See how Glenn Gulletson is different from Pete DeBoer? And why is this the over-the-top piece, according to three-time GM of the Year, Jim Neal? We introduce you to Glenn Gulletson all over again with the Stars press conference next on 105.3 The Fan. The Tolos are weighing in on the RJ Choppy July 4th outfit. Cover your kids' eyes in case you decide to tune in on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. The great Jay Ochoa, of course, is up celebrating America with us early. Middleton says that is an awful lot of skin.
Oh, yeah.
And then Daniel on my Instagram said, I can't hear RJ talking. I only hear bald eagles from his mic.
Oh, baby. I love hearing that. Woo!
So there it is. Yesterday, 11 o'clock, the Dallas Stars press conference to introduce Glenn Gulletson, GM Jim Neal, on The Search.
The first step was to build a profile, to find the individual who met all the requirements because this is a unique opportunity, a unique situation. This isn't a team that's was falling apart. It's not a team that's rebuilding. And so it's really important that we build the right profile to find the right individual that met those requirements that we were looking for. We interviewed numerous coaches at all levels. In the end, the process kept coming back to Glenn. It just kept coming back to him. Speaking with people he worked with, he worked for, all I ever heard about is he'll go through the wall for you. He's organized, he's professional, he cares about people, and he'll go through the wall for you.
Neil also added, I look at Glenn, and what ultimately brought me back to him was his leadership and his ability to have a team-first mentality. Now we hear from Glenn Gulutson himself on Coming Back Home.
I'm just ecstatic to be back. I know some of the questions, certainly they're going to come from everybody here. How does it feel to be back? But I'm prepared for those. It's been 12 years. You know, geez, I could give you the Edmonton resume, 5 head coaches in 7 years in Edmonton. I got to work with some great names, some great coaches, John Tortorella, Ken Hitchcock, Dave Tippett, Jay Woodcroft, Chris Knobloch, great young coach. So I've got to work with lots of people, Mike Sullivan. So all those things have added up to kind of bring me back here, and I'm just ecstatic to be back. It's been a roller coaster. It's a little surreal. You know, I was a month ago, I was on the other side cursing the team out when they beat us in game one, and now I'm sitting here. So, but for me, it still feels like home, so it's an easy adjustment.
Man, I think one of the things that stands out with what Nils said is it. He never wanted to fire him in the first place years ago. There was a new ownership that took over, and I think they wanted a splash. They went and got Lindy Ruff. And because, like, let's be fair, like, this wasn't, you know, when Jim took over, I think Jim also just wanted his guy. Because this was a Nieuwendyk hire. There's nothing wrong with Glenn Gulutson, the coach. It's just the question of you move on from DeBoer to go to Gully, or is this a any voice, kind of any port in the storm will do? Any voice is different than what we had before.
It still feels like listening to Jim Nill talk, it sounds so much like, again, they felt like personality-wise, like Pete DeBoer was no longer compatible here, and that he wasn't going to work with that. Because when he's talking about, like, we're looking at profiles, it's like, are you psych? This sounds like psychological profiles. Like you're going up, yes, to Quantico trying to figure out, like, all right, we need to profile this coach. What should it be like? This sounded like it was personality more than anything else that they were looking for in a coach.
And it's like a lot of it is, it's clear they did not have a plan. They didn't fire Pete because they had somebody in mind. I think it's the same thing with the Knicks.
Yep.
It's evident the Knicks didn't have a plan. They're just like, all right, look, anybody but him.
And they're getting Mike Brown.
And now they're getting Mike Brown. And you know, the Stars are getting another guy kind of who's bounced around a little bit, kind of like Mike Brown, but been around forever. You know, and there's the whole trust in Jim Nill. Jim Nill has made this franchise, I put it in such a great spot, you know, but you know, the trust in Jim Nill, he has not, the one aspect of this that he has failed at is he has not been able to find a stable head coach. I mean, no coach in Jim's tenure has lasted more than like 3 years.
And Gulutson,
maybe Lindy did like 3.5.
Gulutson was asked about Nil firing him 12 years ago, and he said, quote, at the end of the day, Jim was right. This is a league where you've got to get some wounds on you, some scars. You've got to gain experience. And Gully was also asked what he loves about this roster.
This roster is tremendous. What I love about this roster, you don't get these chances. Usually, you know, you're starting from the bottom of rebuild. What's different is, you know, I was kind of at the end of an era when I first was here in 2011 and 12. And, you know, obviously the team was owned by the league then. So there was a bit of a transition period. The team now, you know, the team that Jim's built and Jenks and Whitey, This is a real team. Final Four, 3 years in a row. Like, this is a real team. I love the depth hikes of this team, the depth, because if you're going to go all the way, you need depth. And you guys have witnessed it. I grew up that way a little bit in Edmonton the last 7 years. We didn't have it, and then we did, and it's propelled them to 2 Stanley Cup finals. That depth helps. It's here. it's here in Dallas. I love the D. I love the goaltending. You got studs on D, studs in net, and depth and strength up the middle. All the pieces are here.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
He does.
Damn it. Yeah. Damn it. Damn it.
I love the D.
Man, let's not start off like this.
Oh.
We'll never get him on the show. As I think KNC said, they used to have Gullison on all the time. Corey said every other week when they were hosting nights.
Wow.
And he was the head coach.
I mean, that tells you where the stars were at when he was here last time, is that he was accessible like that. So this is obviously a different point in his career and the Stars.
I thought a great question at the presser was, what needs to be different? Same Schottenheimer parallel. What needs to be different from even the double-digit win seasons that Mike McCarthy had and Gullison went to from the D to the P? He says one change he wants to make is upping the physicality a little bit each game so they're better prepared for the playoffs. Says the forecheck is going to change too. Can you change it with the existing roster? Probably can't make guys tougher. That's the thing.
Right. Now, making them tougher versus making them or like kind of green lighting them to go hit. That's different. I think that a lot of people were like, man, DeBoer was like, he didn't want them to go and be, not saying that one of them be physical in the playoffs, didn't want them to take hits, didn't want them to hit in the playoffs because they didn't want penalties.
Explain to the Bobbies of the world and me what it means when he says the forecheck is going to change. What does that mean, RJ?
I have no idea.
Pepe, what's the forecheck?
It's probably where you run someone into the glass.
Oh, never mind. Oh. Probably. It's probably. All right, there it is, trying to turn it over to our hockey insiders.
I will say the aspect that you just talked about with Schottenheimer, and that's very similar. It's already mirrored it in a couple different ways, it felt like, but specifically the hitting that I think you're going to see him hit a lot of the points that were obvious. Like when Schottenheimer stepped up to the mic, he immediately was talking about all the buzzwords that clearly were important to the Joneses. He knew, all right, here's what I need to talk about. This is what I need to focus on. Feel similar. Like the thought was, we need to talk about culture. And he's talking about, you know, creating that bond. And he's talking about becoming more physical. And it does remind me of Dan Quinn talking about physicality when he sat down with us at training camp a couple years ago, where he said, I think you can usually get one more level out of a guy when it comes to toughness or physicality. He's like, usually you got to have it, but I think you can usually coach one more level up out of a guy, and that's probably your max.
The Dallas Mavericks are bringing in championship coaching experience. Frank Vogel, it is amazing how these just relationships continue to play out in sports and swap, because Jason Kidd was an assistant of Frank Vogel, winning his title with the Lakers, and now Jason Kidd has brought in Frank Vogel to replace Sean Sweeney on the bench as Sweeney heads on over to the San Antonio Spurs. So there it is, Frank Vogel coming on here to assist the Mavs.
Yeah, and he was he had a loose tie with them last year. Vogel was a consultant last year, but he wasn't like on the coaching staff.
I want to be a consultant.
Yeah, I know.
I want to be a radio consultant.
What do they do?
It just sounds like a money laundering gig.
I want to be a PR consultant.
I know my dad was a consultant at the end of his, like, near the end. I don't even think he worked.
Did it seem like he worked or no?
I mean, he would travel. He would travel, but, like, he was mostly working from home. Just
would he be on the phone working, like, throughout the majority of the day?
If on the yes, he would be on the phone. By on the phone, I mean watching Maury.
this was something that Zimmer talked about when he got here, because Zimmer was a consultant at Colorado. And people were like, what was that experience like? He's like, I didn't do anything. Like, I mean, I wasn't doing anything. And so, but this was just one of these things. Let's keep him on in a certain capacity, have him in our back pocket. And now that they're able to use him in place of Sean Sweeney, I mean, Vogel, his whole calling card is defensively just being a really good coach.
Some personnel moves. Dante Exum will return to the Mavericks next season on a 1-year deal. Spencer Dinwiddie heads on over to the Hornets.
Cool with Exum coming back. I'm fine with him kind of handling the point a little bit to start games off. If you want Russell to come off the bench and be sixth man and take most of the minutes like Jason Terry would have done in the past or something like that, that's fine. But Exum, I think, just to kind of get you into the flow of the offense is a good fit. He's shown in his time here ever since coming back from Australia that he's turned himself into a solid NBA role player.
Man, people love Dante Exum so much. Like, for the guy doesn't even play like 60 games a year.
It's because he looks like us. He looks like he's also just like doing radio or something and just walks out there.
He's today's Boris Diaw. Plays 18, 19 minutes a night, but people are like, yes, Dante Exum is back.
Efficiency,
hallelujah,
baby.
Yeah, he can run the point. DeAndre Ayton has given the Lakers their big man a two-year deal. You go and look at the stats and the numbers, and you're like, oh my gosh, this guy's a locked-in double-double. This is a strong double-double, but the numbers in this case are deceiving. It is a player option, and Shams reports between the Blazers and the Lakers, DeAndre Ayton will earn $34 million next season, already on his third team, turning 27 on July 23rd, averaging 14-10, 56% from the field.
I was surprised he was even averaging 14-10.
Me too.
I was even more surprised when I saw that dollar amount. Like, that is insane. Now, it's weird, right? Because it's like he's like you say, split it between two teams. It just doesn't seem. The NBA money is so stupid.
It feels like DeAndre Ayton just has loser traits. That's what it feels. Loser traits.
Yeah.
Once he left Phoenix, I know nothing about him. Nothing.
It feels like, it almost feels like a Kevin Durant mindset without like the same talent. Like, in terms of just, he seems always unhappy. He seems like he's always feeling like I'm being disrespected, and it caused issues driving him out of Phoenix. And this is an interesting pickup for LA, just because I thought they were looking for, like, they were going to want a defensive heavy big man is what they were wanting. I thought they were wanting somebody who's going to be really strong there. And that's not typically been his calling card. It hasn't been to be like one of the better defensive centers.
Make you feel that much more worried about the Lakers now that they have a big?
I mean,
happens to LeBron?
He's going to stay.
Anytime,
I can break that news right now.
Anytime,
Luka, I'll be scams.
Scams. Sources?
Scams. Sharnia.
Scams.
Anytime Luka can have somebody who can roll to the rim that he can get the ball to and they can dunk, that's going to be easy points. So, yeah, sure. I mean, they'll pick up a few extra easy baskets every game. But, I mean, ultimately, I don't think this is any sort of a difference maker.
And Scams Sharia scammed the internet yesterday. My boy Brian sent me and fell for it that Mike Breen was retiring. It was a fake Shams account.
Oh God.
That also tricked Ramona Shelbourne and Mark Spears from ESPN. So it's usually NBA Centel.
Yeah.
This was Scams.
Scams.
Pretty brilliant name.
What's the Schefter one? Is it Allen? Allen Schefter?
Oh, I don't know.
There's a Schefter one.
I've blocked all of them.
You've blocked all? Yeah, I'm not getting got. One too. And I hate that. You guys...
Internet loves it.
The internet loves it. But you guys got no respect. You got no respect for the craft, the grind. The grind that we do.
You have respect for the insider grind now all of a sudden?
No. It's about for us. Because okay. We see this and we get tricked.
Okay.
See, that it's about us. I don't care about the insider.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, they're blowing out the entire ESPN booth, the Doris Burke and Richard Jefferson and Mike Breen. Bye-bye.
Man, that would be...
Which I would not mind.
They need to do something with that booth. I don't... Not necessarily change Breen, but they got to do something with that booth. They got to bring back Mark and Jeff.
Only Texas could have a gender reveal like this, and Peyton Russell is asking, if you're washing your hands after the bathroom, why not before? The payload with a new restroom pressure next on 105.3 The Fan.
Okay, am I hearing this right? The morning show is letting Peyton Russell have his own segment?
I just don't get it. We've known Peyton for years. He's horrible on the mic. I mean, gathering the foreigners, this is going to be a train wreck.
Daddy does work, and Peyton just does board hopping.
That is right. It is the payload every Thursday at this time. 6:40 on a Thursday. And guys, let's talk about weddings. Weddings happen all the time. Mine is in a little less than a year. I've done absolutely nothing to like plan with it. It's been all Mackenzie, so I give her all the credit. She just tells me to show up. Just show up, be nice, be dressed, don't be drunk, and I'll be fine.
What percentage in do you think she is in terms of getting everything done?
I think we're 50 right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Venue?
Yeah. Venue's down, date. We have our DJ. Tolo DJ The Glow is going to DJ out there. So once we get some other things done, photographer, all that fun stuff.
Then, in The Rock?
No, not in The Rock. This will be south. This will be south a little bit, around Midlothian area.
I got a Tolo photographer for you.
Ooh.
I got you, guys.
Send them my information. Thank you. But yeah, so this is a different wedding we'll talk about here. So Zach Wolchuk of the G-Bag Nation is off to a wedding this weekend. And with July 4th being tomorrow, it kind of sparks the debate of, is it selfish to have your wedding on a holiday or holiday weekend?
Ooh.
So I've done two holiday weekend weddings. I did a Labor Day weekend wedding and Christmas. Christmas, December 26th.
What?
Mm. Yeah. They did it. Well, you know.
That's selfish.
Oh, it was a massive. It was massive. Massive wedding. Like 300 people.
Where was it?
It was in Florida. It was in Florida. So now it was cool because they did a Christmas theme. Like it was like the white and silver globes everywhere. That was cool. The Labor Day one was fun because it was like, all right, it was a destination. I think it was in, what's the island? Block Island, up by like Martha's Vineyard, right south of Rhode Island.
Alligator Alcatraz.
That's right. so it's cool because you get an extra day off. That's their thought.
Yeah.
I also think it's incredibly selfish because those kind of days, I want to sit by the pool.
Well, July
amateur hour out there.
July 4th is worse than Labor Day. I feel like many people have more plans for July 4th than Labor Day. Labor Day, fine. You want to do it on Labor Day? Okay.
Yeah.
July 4th weekend, all the different traveling. Did he say where the wedding was?
It's Austin, but he had to leave yesterday. So, yeah. Because, I mean, technically it's like, okay, July 4th is on a Friday. So if you had it July 6th and it's like within the DFW range, then it's like, okay, it's not that bad. But like, it's...
Everyone's going to party on the 5th.
Yeah.
5th and 6th.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I think I gotta throw the flag on this one.
I got married on a holiday weekend. So, but it was still one that everybody parties on generally. It was Memorial Day. So we got Memorial Day weekend. But also we were doing like...
Mary and May, rue the day.
We did basically like... I mean, it was just family. It was small and it was narrow. It was like the people I'm inviting, I also knew it's not like they're going to be out there drinking on a weekend and partying. It was all like gray hair at our wedding, basically.
Yeah, I think if you do this, though, you have to be fine with people not going. You know, I've learned that just because you get the wedding invitation doesn't mean you have to go. It's okay for people not to go. But like you can't expect, you know, 200 people to show up on a holiday weekend like this.
Were you worried at all about the sensitivity aspect of Memorial Day?
No.
Wow, shots fired.
I didn't think about it. I'm giving it. If people can be there, cool. If not, not.
Okay.
And like I know it's not a holiday, but Valentine's Day. It's not on a Tuesday this year, RJ. It's on a Saturday next year. So like, I mean, no, it's not a holiday, but like if people are getting married on that day, if that was a date that Mackenzie and I chose, are you saying no to the wedding invitation or do you celebrate Friday, you know, a little earlier?
That's interesting because I do wonder how many people are actually going to get married on Valentine's Day. Like how many people are going to choose? Like you're going to do the wedding plan. Like, are you going to actually choose that date?
Do you think you get a break?
You might.
On July 4th weekend?
Yeah, you might, because like I would assume, because like what we've been talking about, it's
no one else is doing it.
Right, it's a holiday weekend. Like nobody wants to get married on the holiday weekend.
Yeah, I think New Year's Eve would be a fun one because you're already partying there. As long as everyone's staying past midnight, you know, because it's a big party at the end of a wedding. So I think New Year's Eve, you could get, you know, you could get some relief there. I think.
Have you already thought about who you're not inviting from the station? How you're gonna break the news to them?
No, I have not.
I start thinking about it.
Yeah, can we just start going down the list of people at the station? You tell us yes or no.
I have invited you three right here, and that's all I got in my list right now.
Damn, so. Aiden!
No one's sitting behind me in the back.
Aiden, I'll get married again just to invite you. I'm sorry.
No, we'll have to go through the list because, I mean, again, we're trying to keep it around 150, maybe stretch it to 200, but, again, it's like, I mean, that's a lot of people.
A lot of people.
Yeah. But, again, a lot of people say no. Mackenzie has a lot of family from way out of town. I have some family out of town that will say no, but they're already on our list of people to invite. So the list will go down, then I can invite other people as well. But it's just, it comes to the factor of like, does everyone get a plus one? I've already said you guys get a plus one. You know, I don't want Sean not showing up to my wedding.
Thanks,
like,
zero.
But, you know, not everyone. I don't think I can have everyone get a plus one. So, but decisions will have to happen. And I hope no one gets their feelings hurt.
Have you had a say in the registry so far? You have any must-haves?
Cutting boards, man. I need cutting boards. I got one somewhat large one, and then the other two are super small, and I can fit maybe half a chicken on.
I have like 30. You want one?
Yeah, I have a lot, too. And we have a Tola who makes them. Or at least got one for you. Tennessee.
That's
right.
Oh yeah. That's
Andy.
That's right behind my stove. It's like a backdrop.
Hook it up, Andy.
I'll find some tools or something I need that I, you know, come across. I'm like, all right, I'll throw that on there. But pots mirror. And pans, anything like that for sure. But all right, it is the payload every Thursday at this time. We go from weddings to gender reveals, and I may have found the stupidest person in Texas. Sean has seen this video. RJ Chop,
I've seen it.
Bobby, I don't know if you've seen it. Aiden has the video up on the fan cam right now. This couple in Waco decided to use a rattlesnake to reveal the gender of their baby.
this is such a man.
Oh, yeah.
A dumb man, but he's still a man. I can't believe it. He's holding the little balloon in his mouth, taunting the snake, and it strikes right at the face. And how did he not know it was going to go through the balloon? Distance. How did he know it was definitely going to go at the balloon and not to the shoulder or the stomach? How?
Well, I think distance, like he knows like it can't strike that far. Like they can only strike like 2/3 of their body length.
Now, this guy is a professional snake handler, by the way. So I guess if that matters to you, you know, maybe he knew what he was doing there. But I'm not taking this. I'm not doing
this. This is, there's, I mean, you yeah, like, me he probably would know.
Is this the most insane one we've ever seen?
I think without question. Without question.
And the wife is just sitting there, hand on hips. Yeah, good job, honey.
Yeah, she's like leaning up against the crate with the other snakes in it.
Oh, there's
sounds
other
about I think those,
you know what?
That, I mean, you know, damn you're right. Not wrong. Yeah. You're not wrong.
As my wife would people. Say, quote, this, that's some white people ass.
This is white people right here. There's not a...
Hell no.
Not another group of people would dare do this.
Nope.
And it's like, what's next? I mean, a police officer using like a bulletproof vest or something to prove like it's you're messing with death here. I get you're a professional snake handler. It's your job. But like, come on. I don't know about this one.
Are you going to do a gender reveal whenever you and Mackenzie have a baby?
See, I don't know. Because it's like it's only fun if you're like, you know, like a baseball player doing the whole bath thing or hockey player, you know, smacking the puck. Like if it's something like that. But like if I'm just throwing up a balloon or something, it pops.
What
like,
if
I don't know.
Peyton will throw rolls around his table like Thanksgiving and one of them will have a powder.
Right. What if he does like
throw it to Meemaw over there and she'll drop it.
You could have a balloon filled with it and you could do like a jump shot from a wheelchair like you did at Sandler's event.
Yeah, when
and
you then, lost to the Special Olympics kids.
And then you could break it all over
that
the court.
Was 6'3", Sean. That guy was...
I still have those still shots.
Oh my god.
And I've forgotten to post
them.
Looks
please like, don't.
The like concentration.
Aiden, we'll have to get up on the fan cam. My goodness, those
his
are bad.
Nips were blinging more than Choppies this morning.
Did y'all do gender reveals though? Did any of y'all?
No.
No interest in it?
I knew what I was going to have already.
Okay, didn't want a surprise either. So, like, I know a lot of people are like, oh, I want to be surprised. I don't. Like, we just want to know what clothes to get and stuff like that.
All right, last story here, guys. So we've talked about, you know, if we wash our hands after we go, number one. But do you wash it or should you wash your hands before and after you go pee? So I actually don't think this is a dumb idea. This is on the Pat Bev podcast, and he's asking a guy about washing his hands after he uses the bathroom. And things took a little twist, and I might actually... agree with this one.
When you urinate, do you wash both hands or only wash the one hand that is used to hold?
Well, what I do is I wash my hands before I touch my penis.
Oh.
Okay, well, we got basketball wise.
Listening. Yeah, so Pat Bev didn't want to even touch the idea of it. But, you know, after thinking about it, I was like, it's not that crazy of an idea. Like, no. I understand, like, if you're out doing yard work, whatever, like, I'll go wash my hands and then go to the bathroom. But, like, if I'm just sitting around the house, you know, clean or whatever, then, I mean, like, If it's been a while since you washed your hands, it's not a dumb idea.
It's not a dumb idea. It actually makes fantastic sense.
It actually does make sense, but I mean, unless I urinate on them, chances are I'm not washing them afterwards anyway. So why would I do it before?
Our choppy.
Yeah, that's right. Now look, if you're doing yard work, you don't need to wash your hands. Just urinate on your hands. It'll get all that dirt off.
The buildup. So, like my hands touching this chair or on this table or my computer.
Oh, it's great. It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. No one will ever do it.
No, I'm never doing this. I'll wash my hands leaving and after number one, but I'm not going to wash going in there.
Yeah, it's something I never will think about. Like, you know, I walk right to the toilet when I need to go to the restroom. I pass by the sink, but I'm not washing my hands before, because RJ, you've said that you jump in the pool to bathe basically as time
on a weekend. If I'm not leaving the house, if it's Saturday, we're not going to dinner, and I've been in the pool, that's my shower for the day. Now, if we're gonna go out, then it's a different story.
Gross.
What other activities would you have to be doing to say I definitely need to wash beforehand? Like you're going to the gym looking like Jethro
Wings
after the show.
Wings.
Anything hot? Yep.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that, like, when we're at a restaurant, I have to go in there and I'll have to wash my hands off.
But if you have your hands on, like, the weight bench or the equipment,
I'm still not. I'll wash it when I leave the gym before I go in the car.
Wings is probably. Yeah, that's
Wings. Yeah, Kristen you don't want that hot sauce on there.
Kristen is obsessive about the handrails on stairs or escalators. If you touch those, she's like, you need to put hand sanitizer on instantly.
You want
to
vom?
Yes, you just made me.
Yes.
Take a baby wipe And when next time you go on an escalator,
oh no,
just hold the baby wipe on the escalator as it rolls by and just like as it's going through, and it's black. It's disgusting. Disgusting.
I think that's from the actual rubber though.
I think that's coming off of that.
Still. All right. That's a nice addition of the payload.
Rip it through your radio.
You got the intro, then the outro, Sean.
Peyton Phillip Russell every Thursday at 6:40 here on Sean and RJ. Thanks for being a Tolo. We have an NBA Youngboy ticket giveaway to hook you up with in the 7 o'clock hour. And are we getting set for an NFL work stoppage? Bobby's getting a little bit worried about our favorite sport taking a pause. We'll go inside the NFL with a Youngboy ticket giveaway as well next on The Fan.